Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been about a decade now, but maybe some of you remember having seen or having heard about the movie entitled 2012. If you remember that movie, maybe you remember the premise of the movie, and perhaps also from reports from the news around that time as well, that apparently there's an ancient Mayan calendar from that ancient civilization in Central America, the Mayan civilization. And that calendar predicted that in the year 2012, the Earth would be destroyed by the sun. And so in the movie, suspense builds as there are people who discover what that ancient calendar has revealed about the end date of the world, and then you begin to see some events leading up to that. Earthquakes and volcanic eruptions begin to tear the world apart, and then the sea levels begin to rise, and first the low-lying coastal lands are overwhelmed and flooded by seawater, and many people begin to die. And then gradually, eventually, the oceans rise up to the level of the highest mountains of the Himalayas. And most of the people around the world are tragically killed in the great floods, the rising ocean levels, except for some who are saved on gigantic boats that had been built in secret by the powerful governments of the world in preparation for that cataclysmic flood. Of course, from the Bible, we know that the world will not end in that way, by being destroyed by a great flood. Because after the great flood that destroyed the whole world and everything living on the world except for the people on the ark at Noah's time, Noah and his family and the animals on the ark, after that great flood receded and the waters went down, God made a promise to Noah and his family: never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God pointed to the rainbow in the sky as the sign of his promise, and he said, "Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life." And so we have God's promise, and we can trust that his promise is true, that the world will not be destroyed again by a great flood. But if it won't be destroyed by a great flood, how exactly will the world end? In what way will it be destroyed? Well, God's word does tell us through the Apostle Peter. He writes, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." And now, as we see from Jesus' words here in Luke chapter 21, that before that happens, before the destruction of the world with fire on the last day, there will be other signs that the end of the world is coming, and other signs of the return of Jesus. So as Jesus says in verses 25 and 26 of our reading, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth nations will be in anguish, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the surging waves, people fainting from fear and expectation of the things coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Now as we read about it and hear about those great and tragic things that will happen before the end of the world, we can certainly understand why the nations will be in anguish and in perplexity, as Jesus says. Why people will be fainting from fear and expectation of the things coming on the world. Certainly we can imagine that if we are alive at that time, how terrifying that will be to see the world shaking and quaking around us, to see the seas roaring and surging. And even to look up in the night sky, or even perhaps in the day sky, and to see the sun and the moon and the stars and other heavenly bodies being shaken in some tremendous way that will be observable to the eye. I would certainly be afraid, and I imagine that many of you also would be afraid to see those things happening around us that we have never witnessed before. But that's not the only reason that people will be terrified at that time. They will also be afraid because they are afraid of death and judgment. They'll be afraid because their consciences have told them that they deserve punishment from God because of their sins. And maybe they've even heard from some Christians that God will punish all who have sinned and who reject God's Savior that He sent for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus. That God will punish all such people with eternal suffering in hell. And even though they may have laughed at that message during their lifetimes, yet when such terrible and frightening things are happening in the world around them and throughout the universe, they'll remember that message that they heard. They'll remember that voice of their conscience, and they will be afraid, terrified, because they know that the judgment is coming and tragically, they will be sent to hell. What about you? Will you be afraid for that same reason? Well, we know that we deserve punishment from God because of our many sins against His will, against His commandments. We can't deny that that is true. We may try to defend ourselves and we might say, well, my sins aren't as bad as some other people's sins. I'm not a murderer or a robber or a prostitute or a drug dealer. But God says that in His judgment, in His eyes, sinful thoughts and desires that nobody else may even know about are just as bad and deserving of punishment as sinful actions that many other people may know about. God's word says that even hating a person in your heart, even having sinful anger toward another person, is just as evil and deserving of judgment and punishment as the action of murdering someone else is. Jesus says that even having lustful sexual thoughts in your heart for another person who is not your husband or wife is the same in God's eyes as immoral sexual activity with another person. And we can continue in that same pattern with every other sin that we may try to tell ourselves that we are not guilty of because we haven't done that action. We say that we've never committed robbery, but our hearts are often full of greed, full of desire to have or to take something that doesn't belong to us. We are guilty in God's eyes. We deserve punishment from God of eternal suffering in hell because we have not obeyed His commandments perfectly as He requires of us. We have not loved Him with our whole heart and our whole soul and mind and strength as He deserves to be loved because He is our Creator, God, our Savior. So as the last day approaches, we may be afraid to see the earth and the sea and the heavenly bodies being shaken, but we will not be afraid like the rest of people on earth. Even though we have sinned and we know that we deserve punishment from God because of our sins, we also know the wonderful truth that God has sent His own Son, Jesus, to suffer in our place, to pay the penalty that we deserved to suffer because of our sins. God's word tells us that when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, He was carrying all of our sins, all of the sins of the whole world, and that because of His death, we have peace with God. We have the assurance that all of our sins have been fully paid for, totally taken away, totally removed in God's sight by that sacrifice of Jesus in our place. As God told us through His prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, prophesying the work of the Savior who would come in the future, the Savior who was Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. And so when the last day approaches, when we see those great and terrible signs in the earth around us and throughout the universe, we will not be afraid like the rest of the people on the world. We will not be afraid because of our sins, because we know that Jesus has already taken away all of our sins. We know that he has already credited to us his perfect obedience to be our own in God's sight. And so as Jesus says in verse 28 of our reading, when these things begin to happen, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. At that time, other people, we can imagine, will be running crazily about here and there, trying to hide from God's judgment, if such a thing were possible. But we will not be cowering in fear, trying to hide ourselves. Instead, we can stand up calmly and confidently and look to the skies to watch for Jesus' promised return with the clouds of heaven. We know that he will not destroy us. We know that he will not punish us, because he has already suffered our punishment. Instead, we know that when he comes back to destroy the world and to destroy all unbelievers, he will take us to be with him in heaven, in that perfect paradise, to live forever with him. Just as he told his disciples on the night before he died, when he told them that soon he would be visibly taken away from them, but that they should not worry or be filled with grief, because he promised that he is going away for their good, to prepare a place for them to live forever with him in heaven. John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." And so while we wait expectantly, eagerly, not fearfully, for Jesus to come back, let's also take to heart the warning that he also gives in these verses. He says in verse 34, "Watch yourselves, or else your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the worries of this life, and that day may come on you suddenly." We know that the devil wants to distract us. The devil wants us to be all wrapped up in the pleasures and in the worries of this life and of this world, in order to draw us away from Jesus, in order to occupy our hearts and our minds with other thoughts and with other things than to focus on God's word and on his promises. The devil wants to make us unprepared for Jesus' return, so that instead of looking up and eagerly expecting Jesus' return, instead we will be full of fear because of the guilt of our sins, and the devil will be able to drag us down to hell to suffer there with him forever. So don't let that happen. Don't be weighed down by the sinful pleasures or the worries of this life. Of course, that's easy to say, but we all know that that's not easy to do. And we know that if we try to rely on our own strength to do that, we will certainly fail. We are so weak. The sinful nature still daily leads us away from the path of following God's will and his desires, and to follow our own sinful ways and to sin against God. But if we rely on God and on his strength, we certainly will not fail. If we rely on God and on the strength that he gives to us in his word, and on the strengthening of our faith that he gives to us through the Lord's Supper, and as we remember the blessings of our baptism, we will certainly be ready for the end of the world, for Jesus' return in judgment. God promises to us that his word, the promises of his forgiveness and salvation, is armor that protects us. And in fact, his word is even a sword that we can use to fight back against the devil and all his schemes that seek to lead us astray and to lead us into sin and ultimately to lead us into damnation. God's word gives us the energy, the strength, and the power to fight off all those temptations of the devil and to stay alert for Jesus' return, as he calls us to do. Most importantly, God's word assures us that our sins are forgiven, all because of Jesus' work for us, and that Jesus will take us to heaven when he returns. And so when we see these signs of the end of the world approaching, and as we look at the world around us, we do see all of those signs happening, perhaps not to the extreme degree that they will happen on the last day or just before the last day, but we do see so many of the things that Jesus has said are signs of the end. When we see those things happening, we will not be afraid. We will stand up. We'll lift up our heads with confidence in his promises, because we know, as he says, our redemption is near. We know that our loving Savior Jesus is coming back, that he's coming to take us to live with him forever in heaven. Thank God that he has made us ready for Jesus' return. Amen.